Welcome back to Basic Training, everybody, where every single day we strive for one thing and one thing alone, and that is to improve ourselves. Welcome back, and I'm your host, Michael Bays, and just when you thought I'd run out of things to talk about, I show up with even more priceless knowledge for you guys. And some may say the advice is worth exactly what you pay for it, but, you know, whatever. On our last show, guys, we talked about toxins and what they do in the body, what they are, where they come from, if they're even a real thing or if it's just something made up by some doctor trying to sell you a book. If you'll listen back to the show, I went over what a toxin is as far as what Mike Bays' definition of that was, which is any substance, foreign or created by the body, that impedes the process of normal metabolic, cardiovascular, and neural function. We had a good time talking about all the fun things that you find in your house, from your deodorant to your thermometers to the fish that you eat may have all these nasty, nasty things in it. And we had a good time trying to figure out how to get around some of those things. And it was probably one of the more in-depth educational shows having to do with an element of what I do in the fitness world. A little bit more specific than normal, but definitely a lot of fun. Got a big response from you guys about it, actually. It was, I think everybody really enjoyed the article that was put forth with the show, and that was more of just your basic overview of some of the concepts that I talked about, whether it was, you know, what to look out for when choosing some of the foods that you're going to eat, from, you know, what's an organic food and foods with herbicides and pesticides and things like that, all the way to some of the more, I don't want to say it was more of the, I keep searching for the word here, and that's because I don't want to put the industry down when I start talking about this. But it's almost just like a conspiracy theory of if we just scare you into believing that you have all these evil things in your food, and if we sell you a beautiful product that comes in, you know, two bottles with a liquid and some pills, and it costs $175, and you do it over 10 days, all these nasty demons are going to be gone from your body. So I wrote an article based on that and just trying to show you guys some of the basics of what they're trying to do and really what is that, what are these detoxifying things doing in the body, if they're doing anything at all. And that actually led me to something that I decided to try for myself in response to these questions, and that was to introduce the idea of intermittent fasting to you guys. And what that is simply determining for a period of time how long you're going to go without certain substances. This has been around for generations. It's biblical. It's been done since the caveman days. It's the idea that we are going to eat for a period, and then we are going to stretch out for however long we decide. Obviously, cavemen couldn't decide. They just hunt the woolly mammoth and pray that they get to eat. But we decided as a modern society that we're going to go for a period of time without eating. And it can be anywhere from sun up to sundown. It could be for a longer period of time, like a 24, 48-hour, or 72-hour fast. It could be, Lent is actually an example of a fast as well. It's when you're going to give up something that you're doing for whatever purpose it may be, whether it's religious or physique-related as far as I was going. The fast I determined to do was a 36-hour fast, and that was going to start on Tuesday evening at 6 p.m. It was going to go all day Wednesday until Thursday morning at 6 a.m. when I got up to go to work. And I elected for my fast to go 100% dedicated to no actual food. My only substances that I consumed over a 36-hour period were water, green tea, and black coffee. And the overview as far as what I got out of it, I've done it twice since you guys are hearing me right now, and I'm just on my refeed from my second fast, my second week of fasting. What ended up happening is, you know, and I was honestly surprised. I wasn't near as hungry as I thought I was going to be. I was a little bit more stable blood sugar-wise, and my sleep ended up being probably the most noticeable difference. I slept like a baby. For those of you who don't know, trainers, we get up really, really, really early in the day. We get up at 3 and 4 a.m. We work all day long, and then we go home, and like really, really old men, we go to sleep about 7:30, 8 o'clock. Well, I've been able to push the envelope a little bit and like a wild man, I'm able to stay up until about 9 o'clock now, maybe 9:30, somewhere in that range. In fact, a lot of times, I still talk with my grandmother quite a bit, and she'll call me. She lives on the East Coast, and I'm in Central Time, and so she gives me a call and lets me know, you know, hey, your mother just did this, yada, yada, yada. Well, it's 10 o'clock there. I'm already asleep. So I'm sitting here at, you know, the ripe young age of 29, and my grandmother is actually staying awake longer than I am. So I don't know if that's a significant thing, but it definitely is not good for one's self-esteem. But anyway, to relate that back to the fast, when I got home from work on Wednesday, I think it was Wednesday, right around 6:15, right around that range, I literally fell asleep by 6:45 that night. I could not think. I could not do a thing. I was out like a light. Had to go to bed. And because I wake up so early, oftentimes I'm tossing, I'm turning, I'm getting up every couple hours, just checking the clock, making sure that I'm not, you know, didn't oversleep my early morning client or whatever that may be. This time around, I was dead to the world. I hit the pillow at 6:15, 6:30. I did not wake up until my alarm went off at 3:45 a.m. It went off and I'd sat straight up and went, oh, apparently fasting makes you sleep much more. Now, whether that's because you're not providing it with enough energy, so it's your body's wanting to go more into a hibernating state, I'm not sure, or if it takes so much more energy to just move you through the day without providing an external source for that energy, I don't know. But that was actually it was a good surprise for me because it was a very solid night's sleep. So that means when I woke up on Thursday morning, I was raring to go. You know, I went back in the kitchen, I cooked some of my egg whites, I got some turkey bacon going, I chugged a good 20 ounces of water, had a cup of coffee, and I was back on my normal refeeding schedule at that point. And I wasn't really that hungry as I came out of it. I was normal. My reset time, as far as how often I would eat, was right in the 3-hour to 4-hour range, and didn't really feel all that bad. It, you know, as I said before in the last show, my eating schedule was getting down into the hour, hour and a half ranges. And to be honest with you, that actually is just a little too often to eat. I think that was becoming a negative thing. So as a positive benefit from the fast, it seems to have reset some of that pattern for me. And so I'm not really that anxious to get up to the front counter at the smoothie bar and, you know, grab some trail mix or to eat a protein shake or something like that. So that's another positive benefit. Now, I'm going to keep doing this until the end of the year. So we're probably talking, if I'm pulling up a calendar here, we're going to do that right now. It's looking like I'm going to be able to do this for 1, 2, 3 more times before the end of the year. And I'll keep you guys up to date. I am noticing some leaning effects going on. That's to be expected, because when I thought about it, I'm really only eating 5.5 days out of 7. And I mean, when you only have a water, coffee, and green tea, it's literally no food. Now, the reason I did that as well, and I'm choosing not to do protein shakes, is because I really want to make sure that my body's not having to do any work to digest anything. And if you're giving it just simple substances that really contain nothing else, except, you know, when it's mostly water-based, that's going to make sure that you hit that reset button as much as you can. And so, and that's my goal for the whole thing, is to make sure that that reset button, you know, really find out what that's going to do for us long term, and so that I can deliver to you guys, you know, my clients, and to the listeners out there, and let you know my findings of whether or not this is actually worthwhile in doing. So that's the news on the fast. I'm actually conscious now as well because I've refed, and I may post that up for you guys later. We'll see. It just depends on if you really want to know how bad some of that recarbing up was. But so that was a brief overview of what's going on since last week that I talked to you guys. Going on in my world right now as far as training goes, training volume is really picked up. I don't know if this season's any different than in some of the others, or what's different than some of the others, but I am definitely noticing that there's a lot more people that are getting into fitness. They are wanting to work out for the very first time. They're coming into the club a lot more. Our volume has picked up. My business has probably picked up about a good 25% just on inflection. This is before even the new year. And that's really when our big time of year is, when everybody's wanting to get in shape, doing the Biggest Loser challenges and all of that. So I'm personally going to believe that it's because I'm doing the most amazing podcast of all time, and that it's the Get Fit Before You Get Fat challenge. Nobody's actually come out and said that yet. So until I hear otherwise, I'm just going to believe that, because if I believe it long enough, it will become reality. And that's how I go through my day. So the training volume has gone up quite a bit. So you're definitely in good company out there. If you guys are thinking about getting started working out, if it's been on your mind, if you've caught the Today Show and said, you know what, I'm going to try that routine, or you saw the P90X infomercial or the Insanity Asylum, that's the new one out. If you thought about that, I'm going to just wholeheartedly encourage you to actually put that in and get it started. If you get started now, come 3 weeks from now, your world is going to be so much easier, and you've got a head start on everybody else who's just figuring out that they drank way too much eggnog and ate a ton of cookies and York peppermint patties. So that's what's going on there. Personally, as far as some of the routines that you guys wanted to know, personally, what I'm doing right now as far as my own workouts, I'm going to make a confession. To be honest with you, when I started in my own personal workouts at, 16, 17 years old, I was a runner. I would get up every morning and I would run 5-10 miles at a time, feel like a champ, not eat all day, and think that I was just doing the smartest thing in the world. And later on, I got into weightlifting and learned how to marry everything together. And I've been kind of just a jack of all trades since then. But I ran a race on Thanksgiving Day. It was called the Burrow Dash, and some of you guys ran that with me. And we definitely talked about it before the Thanksgiving holiday. Ever since then, I ran 4 miles in 31 minutes even. And I mean, some of you guys out there are probably way faster than Mike Bays. I'm not a runner now. I've gained about 60 pounds of muscle since then, so it's a little tougher for me to just glide along nicely on the road. But ever since that race, I really have had more of an urge to get out there and improve my time. I'm not talking about going distance. I don't think you're ever going to catch me doing marathons or ultra marathons. I'm just not interested in taking that kind of pounding on my body. But what I am interested in is the competition of improving my overall time in something. And right now I seem to be falling in love with running again. And that's, you can quote me on that for right now. I don't know if that's going to last for too long, but as of now, I'm starting to put away, I would say, right around 10 miles a week. So I'm trying to put in a couple of faster runs at the end of my weightlifting sessions, like this morning when I got done working out. I did a little bit of a weight routine and then ended up going through a quick 2-mile run. Took me about 20 minutes. Felt fantastic. And for those of you who don't know, I am a huge, huge fan of Vibram Five Finger Runners. I run in the barefoot toe shoes. And so I'm up on my toes, I'm running through, getting a great calf workout as well. If you've never tried it, go to Vibram. I'll post a link up once the show's up and let you guys take a look at what I'm doing. I've worn these things for 3 years, and they're absolutely the greatest shoe I've ever worn. My lower body's better developed, my knees don't hurt, my back doesn't hurt, and I'm a walking sports injury from all the stuff that I've done. But I'll tell you, these have very, very subtly corrected a lot of the negative posture things that I was going through, a lot of the negative strides that I was going through running, and they have overall helped my physique probably more so than any diet or new workout program that I've tried. So if you haven't given them a shot, whether you want the Vibrams or just a regular no-sole or low-sole shoe, I really suggest that you guys give that a shot. So that's what's going on with me, my own training. And that's an overview of the show as of last week. But today, we are going to talk about your Christmas parties. We're going to talk about your holiday survival guides. I've got a ton of clients that I think, as we're recording tonight, I've got probably 5 or 6 that are going to various holiday events and gatherings, Christmas parties everywhere. It's just that time of year. So I thought it was a perfect time to pull out the show and say, okay, what's good about these? What's bad? What's a good way to get to these things without offending people, saying we don't want to eat? What do we eat when we're there? How do we end up working it off? What's probably the proper workouts that need to be done? What's the best way to combat this so that we're not running into the issue of, uh-oh, I really have to undo what I just did last night? And so that's the theme for tonight. And we're going to start off by simply going into some of the foods that you're going to be dealing with at these parties. Now, these are, whether it's a fun party that you're enjoying, or it's a party you didn't really want to go to, and you kind of want to have a few drinks to knock off all the boringness, we're going to talk about all that. And we are going to start with the trays of food at these wonderful parties. You know, when you go to these things, you're going to have a buffet line. You're going to be standing there with a ton of people. You may know them, you may not. You may have tacky sweaters on. Who knows? I have no clue. I've been to enough tacky sweater parties in my time. But regardless of the attire, you're going to be staring at some of these things. First two things I want you guys to think about is typically you're going to find sausage balls, cheese platters, deli meat trays, veggie trays. You're going to find pastry trays, chocolate trays. You're going to find the drink carts. Everything's going to be there. So we're going to find out right now. I'm going to go ahead and tell you which ones you need to do versus which ones you do not need to do. If you're going to be standing in the buffet line, we're going to compare the first two, and that's going to be your sausage balls or your cheese platter. I'm going to put these in the same vein because they're very compartmentalized. You can pick two or three pieces of them at a time, and you think you're not doing all that bad, but I'm going to have to recommend you're always going to have to go for your cheese platter over your sausage ball platter. And the reason is because 9 times out of 10, the sausage balls contain cheese anyway, so there's really no sense in adding in the extra stuff. But the thing I'm most worried about on these things where they're putting sausage in there, or I've seen these cheese and beef loaves. I don't know, maybe that's a Mike Bay's grandmother kind of thing. But the problem with that is the high amounts of something called sodium nitrate. And sodium nitrate is what they put in bacon. It's what they put in your Subway deli meat. It's the stuff that makes it appear very shiny. If you take a look, if you hold it up to light and just wave it back and forth, there's a sheen on it. And the sodium nitrate is what keeps it fresh. It makes sure that if it's left out, it's not going to spoil. It keeps it for much longer. Well, the problem with that stays in your body once it's there. And, you know, harking back to the toxins argument we did last week, we're going to classify that as, you know, that's a toxin that can stay in the system for longer periods of time. It's harder for the body to digest that. And what that's going to do, that's going to divert a lot of energy away from actually digesting a lot of other good things. It has a high probability to cause an inflammatory response in the GI tract. And because of that, that sausage ball that you eat tonight may take 3-4 days to get all the way through. And so you mix, you know, sodium nitrate laden beef or sausage or whatever sausage is made of nowadays, I don't really know. And then you mix that with cheese, which is also hard to digest. You got something that's just going to sit like a rock in your digestive system for a long period of time. You're not going to be a very pleasant person to be around, if you know what I'm talking about. So if you're dealing with those two platters, you're definitely going to go for your cheese platter. Go for your white cheeses. Those tend to be a little bit, that's not less fatty. It does not cause as much of a craving. And I know that's kind of getting into the psychology of this a little bit. The reason, because it doesn't seem to be as sweet. The whiter cheeses are a little more bitter in nature. And because of that, you're not going to have that extra craving of, man, I really want 3 or 4 more pieces, because typically when something's bitter, you really don't go back for seconds, thirds, and fourths. So that's probably going to be your best bet. Go for your cheese platter over your sausage balls, because you're going to get cheese in both of them, so I may as well have just regular stuff, and at least you know what cheese is. Sausage balls, we don't even know what sausage is anymore, so just stay away, guys. As you're moving down your buffet line, the next one's it's a no-brainer, but you're going to try to do it anyway because you think it's okay, and that is your deli meat tray versus your veggie tray. You really need to just shoot straight for the vegetable tray, guys. I almost don't even need to talk about that on a fitness show, but it seems like when you hear it when my voice comes through and you're looking at it straight on, you're like, you know what? That's lean protein on that deli tray. You know, that's roast beef. That's ham. It's the sodium nitrate again, guys. It's the things that are injected into that meat to allow it to sit out on that table and not spoil. You know, while you think this would be one of the best trays to do, the processed meat just ruins everything. It's been taken out of its natural state and formed into nice, precise slices for you to ingest. Meat doesn't come like that. You know, the giant thing of chicken in the deli section, that's not real chicken anymore. It's been processed and formed so that it can be cut into nice thin slices to fill on your sandwich. And that's where the sodium comes in. You know, eating that alone is going to guarantee you a good 2 to 5 pound weight gain the next day from all the salt that's going in the system. Whereas if you were to just go right down a little bit and eat the veggie tray, the only thing you really have to worry about is the amount of dressing or the amount of sauce that you're going to put on your veggies. And that's way more controllable. It's something that's very easy to avoid, and you're not going to get a bunch of secret things you didn't think of. And so, I mean, again, it's a no-brainer. Pick your veggies over your deli meats because it's just an easier choice, guys. And you'll avoid all the extra weight gain. You'll thank me later, and you'll be a more pleasant person to stand around. Moving down your buffet aisle, you're going to find some pastries, and then you're also going to find some chocolates. You're going to have to go straight for the chocolates. You have to avoid the pastry tray at all costs. Because if you've been following, whether it's my blog, if you've been following the show, if you've been following anything for a period of time, and you know me, you'll be familiar with my stance on gluten, its effects on the human body, and every single thing on the pastry tray is going to contain that. That's what gluten makes things taste better. It's in pizza dough. It's in tortillas. It's in everything that causes bread to form and mold itself. It's what makes life worth living sometimes, but it's also one of the worst things that you can ingest in your system. If you avoid this tray, you'll avoid any kind of digestive distress and undesirable weight gain. You're not going to run the risk of a gluten intolerance starting to build up or an allergy, celiac disease, and things along those likes. And the majority of the pastries may actually contain what you're going for anyway, which is simply chocolate. If you go to the chocolate tray, again, it's a lot easier to pick one or two pieces from there. A lot of times they're smaller, and that's easier than picking one giant donut from the other side. If you do that, it's, again, I hate to say it's a no-brainer, but it's easier to control yourself. And anytime you can control yourself and your portions, you're going to do a much better job. You know, constraining yourself on this, it's going to help you because the higher fat content of the chocolate, it will slightly lower the digestion and the sugar-laden pastries. And what that means is when you ingest the fat from the milk chocolate, it's going to actually pass through the system a lot easier than a bread-type product. That's always the case. Anytime you add fat with carbohydrates in, it makes things kind of move a little bit quicker through the system due to all the extra, we'll get, you know, somewhat intense, due to the extra bile that comes out to have to emulsify some of that fat to move it through. So the more that you ingest, quicker it gets through, less chance it has to absorb, and less chance for any of the negative gluten effects to come through. So we're going to choose chocolate over pastries. And finally, this one's my absolute favorite one, and I think this is going to be just a brief overview because I think I've got enough material to do an entire show on this, and everybody's going to love it. When you get to the drink cart, and you're looking to choose whether it's a mixed drink, it's wine, it's beer, it's just straight liquor, it's eggnog, whatever, what is going to be the best alcoholic beverage of choice for you to choose? I mean, literally, we're going to do an entire show on this one of these days, and we'll go over the do's and the don'ts, the good and the bad of alcohol and what it does in the system. I'm going to tell you this is just the basics and the go-to rules. You're going to have to say no to the beer, guys. I know it's good. It's really, really, really good. But it comes with a price. Beer is fermented barley and hops, which means a few things. It's like drinking a bowl of pasta, number one. Number two, while most beers claim to be gluten-free, you can't deny that the base product is the two things that gluten is derived from, and that would be barley and hops. Those are two of the major ones as far as rye is in there as well, but I don't think you can make rye beer. I'm pretty sure that's gross. Those are the two things that are going to be gluten-laden. So you don't want to have that, not to mention the fact that all those extra carbohydrates from the beer are going to be more readily used by the body. It's closer to a state that the body can actually use them from. So, and I won't touch on that to start with because, again, we'll go deeper in that later. You will say yes to your vodkas and to your wine. Based on the things that I think I know, these should be your two drinks of choice for the holiday gathering, okay? What's going to happen is wine, as a general rule of thumb, is a easier alcohol for the body to actually break down. It's got a lot of health benefits to it. It will actually be more potent than your beer, so you can drink less and actually have a better feel from it. And you're not really making that big of an impact on the body. Wine is distilled. Anything that's distilled as opposed to fermented is easier for the body to digest. And there's a hierarchy of alcohols, and we'll touch on that as well. And that is what I always recommend to my clients is you're going to do it in this order. You're going to choose your vodkas and your mixed drinks first. Because vodka can mix with anything sugar-free. It's fewer calories than most other drinks. I think we're talking right around, we're pulling up the stat right here. Vodka is going to be right around 69 calories for a 1.5-ounce serving, and that's a shot. So you're talking 60, 70 calories for the vodka, plus anything else that's going to go in there. And if it's sugar-free, then you're talking a drink that's going to get you, you know, slightly buzzed, and all of a sudden you've only had 70 calories. So that's a win. Number two, you're going to move into your red wines. That's going to be your Cabernets. That's going to be your Pinots. That's going to be your Merlot wines and anything along those lines. And you're going to do the reds first because of the health benefits. If you're moving into your white wines, that's a little bit lower down the list. That's your Chardonnays, your Pinot Grigios, maybe even your Zinfandels and things like that. The reason I don't tell you guys to do those first is because you're more likely to drink more of the whites because they taste better. It's more like drinking a soda or a candy drink. So, you know, again, we're just working with that whole taste scenario in there. And you don't want to give yourself something that may trigger a response that makes you want to drink more of it. Moving down the list a little bit further is going to be your brown liquors. And that's going to be your whiskey, your bourbon, and a lot of other things, scotch and whatnot. Those are, they're not as calorically dense as your beers, but if you're like me, if you get carried away with them, they do a lot more damage to the system. So you really want to avoid those. And finally, we're going to be moving to your dark beers and your light beers. They're so far down on the list, and the ironic thing is they're the ones that taste the best. So, you know, it's kind of like God's cruel joke when it comes to that. So, again, the list is going to be, you got to start with your vodkas, guys. You're going to be moving down into your red wines, your white wines, your dark liquors like your bourbons and your scotch. And finally, you're going to be moving over to your dark beers and your light beers as far as your alcoholic selection for this wonderful Christmas party. Quick side note, my family makes the greatest eggnog on the planet. If you want some and you know where to find me, come to my office, let me know. I make some every weekend. This is totally counterproductive to training, just FYI.
I thought I was supposed to get some.
Did I say that?
You told me last week you'd give me some.
You didn't remind me, John. That was the quickest spin around I've ever seen in my entire life. I brought your wife wine. You're not even going to look at me anymore? What's that about?
Doesn't count, Mike.
Never does, John. That's a side note. My family makes the greatest eggnog on the planet. John doesn't get any, but his wife will get some because she's nicer to me. I'll make some. It's fantastic. That has nothing to do with training. Please don't judge me if you're listening to this right now. Anyway, back on track. That's how the holiday bar is going to go and your buffet lines. Quick tips, if you want more, check out michaelbays.com, and there's a holiday survival guide. I'll try to put that link and keep that up top on the sticky so you guys can take a look and just read through all those again if you need a reminder. And finally, as far as your holiday parties go, I've got some really quick tips, and you're probably going to see a lot of these come up, whether it be on any news program or, you know, a Yahoo Health or something along those lines. Pay attention to them because they really do work. My big five are you need to drink about 40 ounces of water before you go to these things, because if you go full, then you're less likely to eat a whole bunch of garbage. Second, make a napkin as your plate. Don't grab yourself an entire tray, try to fill every little square and make it all neat and pretty. Grab a napkin, stack it full of some food, be done. When it's gone, it's gone. Take some gum or some mints, and if you're constantly chewing and eating on those, you'll be less likely to pick something up just to put it in your mouth to have something to do. Because that, if you're not chewing gum or something like that, that's usually where the chocolate's going to go. And it'll, if nothing else, it'll help kill the hunger pains as well. Another simple tip is eat your dinner before you go. Again, big no-brainer with that one. If you got a party at 7, eat dinner at 6. You don't have to worry about completely overdoing it. You're not going to be starving when you get there. And it's just easier to say no. And the other one is if you avoid wearing really loose clothing. That one's kind of off the wall, and I came up with that one a while ago. It'll keep you from overeating and feeling stuffed because you'll be highly uncomfortable if you do so. So if you wear something that's great, it's form-fitting, you're rocking the new dress, or you got yourself a new suit, or whatever it is, you know, dress to the nines, and make sure that it's fitting rather snug. If you do that, you don't want to feel like, man, I really feel my gut pushing through my pants. That's not a good thing. Or I feel a muffin top on this dress. That's not a win. If you're doing that, it's one of those psychological hits that makes you not do what you may have otherwise done. And that's going to wrap up as far as the holiday guide for you guys. If you have any questions on that or you want to know some more, we're going to try to throw some stuff up on the Basic Training fan page at facebook.com/basictraining. Or on my website at www.michaelbays.com. And I'm going to try to throw some more just quick tips and recipes for you guys so that you're not always just bombarding me with, hey, why do you tell us what to do and then leave us hanging? We're getting better about that. But as a one-man show, it can get rough from time to time. Anyway, what it all is going to boil down to, guys, whether I go over a holiday guide or I give you tips, give you tricks, give you recipes, this is all going to come down to a little bit of common sense and some self-control. You know, it seems to be my most common theme when I'm talking to clients or doing a show is, you know, how to get back on the wagon or how to make good choices. And I just feel like I reiterate that so much. But the reality is it really, really is the most important concept to grasp. The most important concept being you have to remember that everything you do comes down to choice. Nobody is making you do anything. Everything you're doing, whether it's training, whether it's diet, whether it's anything related to fitness in general, it comes down to choice. You're either choosing to do it or you're choosing to not do it. No one ever makes you eat or drink anything. As I've always said before, you never accidentally eat any food, ever. It never happens. You never fall down and magically the food ends up in your mouth. It's just not going to happen that way. So once you understand that, you have to be okay with the fact that whatever happened the night before at the party or whatever happened at the game with the boys or whatever it may be, you made those choices. And I'm here to give you a call to reason. You've got to grow up just a little bit. If you find yourself staring down at a plate full of fatty garbage food or a basket full of fries, you have to get comfortable with the fact, again, that you've put yourself in that situation. And at that point, you have to choose, do I eat it or do I not eat it? When you wake up and the alarm is going off in the morning, you have to think, do I go into the gym and run doing what I'm supposed to do? Or do I lay here and hit the snooze button and then complain that I'm out of shape? I know some of you don't want to think of it like that, but that's the reality of it. Everything you do, where you are right now, is the sum of all the choices you have made in your entire life. That deserved a very long pause. You are where you are right now as the sum total of every decision you have made in your life to this exact moment. Now, whether in my world, that's related to the body 9 times out of 10. So if you are unhappy with where you are, you have to take a look at what you're doing. If the habits that you have are not getting you where you want to be, you're going to have to start changing some of those habits. And so the question is going to become, you know, to avoid truly messing it all up and going through the normal cycle of regret for eating bad food, do you want to go through that? Do you want to lead yourself to that, I'll worry about it later or in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, my New Year's resolution is going to be to lose weight? Is that really what you want to go through? I don't think it is, or you wouldn't be listening to the show. You know, whether you're dead on a plan or you're sitting there trying to decide to finally get this started, you have to choose. Do I get started or do I not? You have to break the cycle. You know, I'm going to invite you to take a stand. You got to grow up a little bit. And it may involve telling grandma no at Christmas dinner. It may involve, you know, turning down that extra piece of pie at your holiday or Christmas party. It's going to take a conscious effort to get you guys in the shape you want to be in. And I know that's easy for me to say. It's what I've lived for well over a decade at this point. But I still have to make those good choices too daily. I'm still getting bombarded with all these honey buns and Christmas trees. The little Debbie guy came back again, and he threw 4 boxes of Christmas trees at the front desk. I love him. His name's Tim. He's fantastic. But I have to choose to not do that. And so it's just as hard for me as it is you nurses out there going into your break room, or your teachers going into the teacher's lounge, or anybody at any office anywhere on the planet. You walk into the break room right now, I guarantee you there's something somebody brought in. It's full of sugar. It tastes really good. And you're still going to have to choose to not eat it. And I can't do anything more than take you guys to the door and say, you really need to walk through this. So hopefully the show is helping you guys. It's putting enough information out there that's wanting to convince you that this is really what you want to do, because I really invite you to get that started. If you haven't, you will thank yourself later. So moving on from that, that was Michael's little rant on how to grow up, be an adult, and not eat a bunch of trash. Once, let's say you did that. Let's say that last rant was the most inspirational thing that you have ever heard in your entire life. What do you do with that? What are some of the things that you really need to be focusing on in this whole get fit before you get fat program that we've got, or, you know, the 3 weeks leading up until these parties are done and we can all be on a normal schedule? What is it that we need to do? Real quickly, we're going to go into it. I'm going to recommend you do more cardio and less weights. That doesn't mean that you're not going to weight train. It just means cardio needs to be your priority, because it's more likely in a half hour you're going to just get a better caloric burn from all the stuff that you ate the night before. So I really recommend that be a number one scenario. Give yourself 20 or 30 minutes in the morning. Go run, go walk, whatever it may be. Make that the first priority. I would recommend shorter and more intense sessions, whether it be running on the stairs, or even if you're weightlifting, make them more intense, move a little quicker. Knock your workouts down from an hour down to 30 minutes, because the main argument that I'm hearing from people is that there's more stuff to do. There's, you know, more parties to go to, more things to see and do, and more family events. So, you know, workouts are getting thrown to the wayside. Well, if you knock them down to half of what they were, you should still be able to knock those out and get a result. That way you're not sacrificing too much, even if you have to kind of lay off a little bit in the next couple weeks. You really need to make a standing commitment, though, no matter what, to get a certain number of training hours in the week. You know, whether it's, let's call it 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, 10, whatever it is, pick a number of hours to be active and write them down, and then just start tallying them up as you go through your activity, whether it's running, weightlifting, whatever. I don't care. Make that hour sheet and go. My recommendation on that minimum, probably going to need to be about 4 hours worth of work in a given week. And the final piece of that is, you know, take a look at your measures that you did a few weeks ago and just remember that. You know, remember what you're trying to do here before the end of the year, so that I don't have to work extra hard to try to motivate you to get started again. Those are the big things that I would say need to be focused on training-wise. And as a side tangent, there's a couple things that I have found recently that are helping me and a lot of clients that I have, and they're iPhone and Android-based. And a few of those are the fitness apps, and that's going to be MyFitnessPal. That's probably the best one I've ever found, honestly. It's a calorie tracker. It's a workout tracker. It's just a basic number input system. If you're a numbers guy or girl or whatever, and you really like your data, that's going to be your number one go-to. It's a bit too specific for me, so not real huge when it comes to that. But if you want to know exactly what you're doing, that's probably a win for you. Livestrong.com also has a great calorie counter and tracker as well. So does SparkPeople.com, as well as FitDay.com. Those are some big calorie trackers that are going to help you stay on track. I don't like to talk a whole lot about the services that I provide. I don't think it's good for me to plug a lot of stuff that I sell right now, because it's kind of a conflict of interest in for me. I've always felt that. I want to provide you guys with enough free information and just, you know, get the word out and get you motivated and let you find anything that you want to help you get in shape. But I also do have something that I provide, which is, it's called the Atlas Program. And that is the concept of taking what we talk about on the show, taking the articles on the website, taking my training style, I box it up, and I send it out to clients all over the world. And it's weight training, it's cardiovascular work, it's nutrition. It's basically a one-stop shop for not having to think on a weekly basis. You just do your homework, fill it out, turn it in, and you're finished. And so it's kind of like going back to school. If you need something like that, you can head over to michaelbays.com and just take a look at it, see if it's up your alley. It can help you a ton, but it's not necessary for you to actually use that program in general. But in this time, sometimes it's easier just to be told what to do as opposed to try to go out and seek what you should probably start doing. So that's my thoughts on that. And that's the basics of what you're going to need as far as staying on top of your workouts. Those are the five things you really need to work on. You know, more cardio, less weights, shorter, more intense sessions, standing commitment to getting a certain number of hours in a given week. I said five things, I meant four things. It's been a long training day, and you'd think I'd be good at counting by now, but you'd be wrong. The last one is take a look at the measures you took earlier this year and just really remember to stay on top of what you're doing. As far as the holiday guide, guys, goes, I really hope that you have a great time at your parties. Make good decisions. You can still have a ton of fun, eat a lot of quote-unquote bad food, but you'll feel a lot better if you eat the stuff that I told you to and you drink the drinks that I told you to. And if it gets really bad, you know, in the next couple weeks, I'll let you know if this whole fasting thing has been a really good idea or not. Again, I'm having some success with it, but I will definitely start keeping a better journal for you guys. I've been keeping one right now, but I'll let you see a little bit more about what that's doing for me and whether or not I can recommend that as a legitimate weight loss, physique, spiritual, mind cleansing, whatever. We're going to see that in the next 2 to 3 weeks, and I'll have my synopsis on that for you by the beginning of the year. That is everything that you're going to need to be successful for your Christmas time. And we're going to do a couple shows here before we hit that holiday, but this is a great place to start. I hope everybody had a great time tonight. I know I did. I feel like I've ranted again, and I yelled and screamed, and hopefully it was good enough to get you guys where you want to be and to get you thinking back on this again. So if you have any questions, and believe me, I love entertaining these questions, head over to www.michaelbays.com. Drop me a message on the message boards, or contact me via the contact form. You can head over to the Facebook page, which is Basic Training. You can head over to my personal page, which is Michael Bays, and drop me a line, whatever you want. You can follow me on Twitter at Michael Bays as well, and just get in contact with me, ask as many questions as you want. Let me help you guys do what you've always wanted to do. So that's going to be about it for the night, guys. So until next time, eat well and train hard.